This week on InterVarsity's podcast, we're talking with Dakota Pippen, the assistant regional director in New England, and Jimmy Quash, area director for the Boston area. And we're talking about their passion for ministry and, in particular, their experience with students in New Orleans during spring break when a number of schools got together. It was a ministry opportunity that has been used by a number of chapters in InterVarsity to make an impact and help people's lives. First of all, Dakota, tell me about your passion for ministry and why you do what you do.
Well, at core, I want to see students grow in their love for God and to live for Him. A verse that's really significant in my life is 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, which talks about how Christ's love compels us. And this sense of wanting to see students fall so in love with God and His purposes for their lives that they will live for Him, live for Him who died for them and was raised again. And so many of the students I run into are living for things that are so meaningless, living for success, living for money, for affirmation, for things that ultimately aren't lasting. And I want to see them live for something that actually matters. I want to see them live for something that will actually last through eternity. I want to see them live for something that's worth living for.
And one of the opportunities that you've had recently is to go with students from New England to New Orleans and work with them in an interesting environment. Tell me about how that came together.
Well, there were a number of staff in the nation that were passionate about us having a way to practically respond to the tragedy in the Gulf Coast. And so InterVarsity as a whole organized, mobilized a number of students to go down there. In particular, the staff in Boston wanted to bring our students down there as well to participate in what God was doing. And there were a couple of key staff who basically raised funds to send a couple hundred students down to work in the New Orleans and Mississippi region. Our hope was to both be a place where Christians could serve and reflect Christ's compassion and love for the people down there, but also to be a place where we could invite our non-Christian friends to see our faith in action and hopefully come to know Christ in a deeper way.
Well, there were students from all over the country who went to New Orleans to be a part of this and other efforts, but the students in the Boston area at a number of schools cooperated, I think, in a significant way.
Yes, there are Jimmy Quach, who's one of the air directors in Boston, and a few other directors basically organized a campaign to raise funds to send a large number of students down there. A number of relief organizations were working in New Orleans, but the interest far exceeded the options available, and we wanted to create an option to send more students down and serve in the name of Christ. And so basically the different Boston schools got together, put together a fundraising plan to talk to people who would be excited to see students go down there, particularly with the aim of it being a team that was a witness as well, that was bringing non-Christians alongside Christians to serve together.
So I get a sense that it may be a little easier for a student to invite one of his friends to go to New Orleans to work on a project like this than, say, go get involved in a Bible study?
Oh, absolutely. We have a number of students who came on the trip that would never visit a Bible study, did not go to church, had no interest in any of those kind of settings, but were passionate about seeing the tragedy engaged, and I had a heart for the issues that were involved there. And so there were a couple hundred students who came down from Boston. A large percentage of them were not Christian. From the Harvard students I brought down, about 50 students came down from Harvard. I'd say about 15 of them were non-Christian, and most of them had little or no interaction with the Christian fellowship on campus.
And how did that work out when you got there?
Surprisingly well. I was actually surprised at the way in which the group seemed to interact well together. We had spent a lot of time beforehand preparing the students to create a good atmosphere, to recognize that since not everyone at this group, this place would be Christian, that we'd have to do certain things differently in order to make it an accessible environment. And I was really impressed by the students, both in their boldness to invite their friends who were not Christian, but also in their efforts to really think through how to create an environment that was conducive to their friends coming and being able to engage Christ, but not in a way that would push them off or they would feel forced into something.
So did it work out that there were certain time periods where you were out working and other time periods when you were involved in Bible study and activities like that?
Yes. So the basic philosophy of the project was to be able to spend the days working, practically serving the needs of the communities we were in, and then in the evenings have a time for debriefing what was happening. And particularly most nights there was a space to kind of debrief and process what we were experiencing in the context of Jesus Christ in Scripture. Now, our first of those meetings was kind of we asked everyone to come just to kind of get a sense of what we were doing for the week, but the rest of the meetings were optional. And so what that enabled us to do was to really talk boldly about Christ and his and why we're here as Christians and how we see him being relevant to these issues. But the students coming were choosing to come, so they didn't feel forced into it. And so we had a number of Christians. We had some non-Christians who came to the first night and then didn't come back. We had a number of non-Christians who came that first night and stayed throughout for each of the Bible studies.
And this was an opportunity for them to maybe talk about some things that they had never talked about before.
Oh, yes. After the first night, I had this great experience where one of the students came up to me after I led the Bible study, and she basically said, I've never read the Bible before. And this was a really significant experience for me to understand who Jesus is, how it impacts my life, questions I should be thinking about. So it did seem that there were a couple of students for whom it placed them in a setting that they might not otherwise have been in. One of the blessings of the trip was that we had one student who made a decision for Christ during the trip itself. And we had another student who's very close to making a decision as we speak about Christ. So we were really encouraged about that.
So this was several weeks ago. How do things look now, a little further down the road?
Oh, actually it was 3 days ago when we got back. So it's very fresh in my mind. And part of what we're thinking through is the best way to follow up on the great things God did during that week. But I would say we were surprised at how well it went. It felt like we had a number of, probably about a third of our students were committed members of the university fellowships. A third of our students were Christians but had never been involved in a Christian community at college. And a third of our students were not Christian. And it was exciting to see how for each group of people, significant things happened. For the Christian students who were a part of our fellowship, for the Christian students who were a part of our fellowship, they gained a deeper passion for giving their lives over to ministry and justice and the purposes of God. For the Christians who had never been a part of a community, they were asking all week, so what's in the varsity? What's this group? How can I get involved? And so it's exciting to see many of them start to make forward motions towards getting more deeply involved in ministry on campus. And then for the non-Christians, a number of them expressed significant interest in kind of keeping connected in contact with us, and a number of kind of significant conversations about spirituality and Christ occurred during the week. So it just felt like wherever people were starting from, there was an opportunity to make a significant move forward in knowing Christ and following him.
Jimmy Quash is joining the conversation, area director in the Boston area. Dakota was just telling us about being in New Orleans in the last week. Were you with that group or a different group?
I spent some time with Dakota's group in the Gulfport, Mississippi area, but I was also with our team in New Orleans.
Okay.
They were based in downtown New Orleans and working in neighborhoods around there.
So it was two separate groups?
Yeah, we had two separate sites from Boston.
Okay. Tell us about how many schools were involved, because it was more than just one or two schools. It was a rather broad-based group.
From Boston, we had six schools there: Boston College, Boston University, Tufts, Wellesley, MIT, and Harvard.
How did this come together?
This came together because we, as a Boston area, decided that we really wanted to invest our evangelistic effort in the spring semester in this type of project that really played to our strengths as a movement, which is discussing issues of race and justice and poverty, and really bringing non-Christians alongside us in that. And there's only so much you can do on campus in talking to non-Christian students, and there's so much more you can do when you actually bring them alongside you and actually this experiential kind of learning.
That's not something that started just this year in the Gulf Coast area, is it?
Yeah, no. The model's been developed by staff in Connecticut over the last 5 years. Every spring break for the last 5 years, students from Yale and Wesleyan have gone to Florida, and they've built houses with Habitat for Humanity during the daytime and then had evening discussions about faith and service and justice in the evening. So really, this was built on top of that model. They take typically 50 students a year, and so we decided that we would adopt that as a Boston-wide kind of model for us to use, and they were also able to send another 75 students from Yale and Wesleyan, too.
Do you have a figure for how many students from the Boston area actually were a part of this?
Yeah, we had 240 students from the Boston area, about a third of which were actually guests of university, non-Christians who were joining on a Christian trip, some of whom this was their first religious sort of experience ever.
Tell us about some of your experiences, your best memories about the impact of this on the lives of the students. How well did it work?
I think it was pretty transformative for a number of the students, especially for students who were activists already, for kind of lack of a better word, who kind of already had a certain desire to see issues of poverty addressed. Harvard, for example, is a really active campus. But this week kind of put two things in front of them. One is the vastness of the devastation and how great the problem is, how great the challenge is. And it also put in front of them an understanding of what Christian hope is and how Christian hope can mobilize a lot of service, because I think we come from a very liberal secular environment in Boston where usually when you discuss Christians and Christianity, it's, you know, there's a pretty negative kind of impression of Christians. But if you go down to the South right now, there are church vans everywhere. There are relief agencies that are Christian everywhere. And there's a sense that this is a very authentic kind of Christian response, and I think that buys us a lot of credibility on campus with these students. The striking thing for me was on the first morning that I got to New Orleans, I drove through East New Orleans, and it was mile after mile after mile of just abandoned neighborhoods. And even though I had read a lot and I had talked to a lot of local ministry folk in the lead up to the projects, just getting everything set up, I was not prepared for how great kind of the devastation is. And in the Lower Ninth Ward, which we had all our students tour, both the Mississippi and the New Orleans sites, it's like it just happened still. There's car on top of car, house on top of house, and really it's going to take years to rebuild. And I think there's an opportunity for Christians to serve in the area for a good time to come, and that's important for us to remember because it is slipping off the national consciousness. At the same time, I do think that there's also a really unique opportunity to invite people who don't yet know Christ and the hope we as Christians have in Christ to kind of be participants in that too. And so I think that's something that we can keep on doing for a while.
I think one of the things I really appreciated about the trip was the diversity of students that we were able to bring. There were a significant population of minority students and white students who were able to go down to the trip, and I think that was significant for a number of the people we work with, because typically a lot of the work they'd seen might have been one group or another ethnic group. And, you know, one of the things that we've been passionate about in InterVarsity is witnessing to the unity of the body of Christ, and to be able to bring down a group of students from different backgrounds serving alongside each other, I think was a powerful witness, it seemed like, to a number of people we were working with. And so I was really grateful to be able to be a part of that as well.
Was there any sense that this was a little bit too much for some of the students, or do they handle it well?
Well, there were structured times to process and debrief the experiences, so it was definitely, there are different points that were definitely overwhelming, but part of the hope of the way we space the time was that you actually had space to engage those things, which my sense was is that most students were able to do. They had enough downtime and conversation time and ability to look at things in the context of Jesus' teaching, particularly thinking about things like the Sermon on the Plain and the promises that Jesus gives to those who are suffering and mourning now, you know, as an example, but just kind of ways of actually engaging the Christian hope that we have in the Scriptures and viewing the devastation in that light, which I think was a unique thing that we were able to do as Christians, as opposed to just coming down, seeing the devastation, and not really having a sense of how this will ever end.
So you think you'll be back in the Gulf Coast area next year, spring break?
Yeah, I hope so. I think we have some good relationships that started up because of this year, and we're thinking about how to make next year work, too.
Jimmy Quash, Dakota Pippen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.